This is one of those I get sometime that got quite a bit in it. So try to go through it in a fairly chronological order, but I have to ask you to try to follow along what I'm trying to say, because I'm not always very skillful with words. The history of Jacob's ladder. Need to give a little background to the story before I read some scriptures. Abraham was Jacob's grandfather. Abraham was in Haran. He was just a man. But somehow or another, he had a contact with God. God took advantage of that and began to speak to his soul, as he will with anyone who has faith in him. And because of this, God led Abraham from Haran into the Canaan land as the beginning of raising up a people to follow him. So much depended on that step. It was because of Abraham's willingness to follow the Lord that the Ten Commandments were given. The nation of Israel was formed. That became the avenue for Jesus Christ to come into the world, the access of our salvation. I don't suppose that Abraham understood all of that when the Lord first started dealing with him, but no more do we have the ability to understand how far-reaching each of our individual lives are or can be. None of us know what's coming after us, but if we are faithful, the Lord is capable of making something beyond that, far beyond our expectations. And if we are unfaithful, it has effects which are also impossible for us to calculate. So Abram went to Canaan. God gave him a son according to his promise. Time came for his son to have a wife. And Abraham was unwilling for him to marry a girl from the country around him because of the contact that he had with God. He wanted his son to have someone who would follow in the same understandings that God had given him. So it took special pains. He called his servant to him, and he instructed him the best he could how to help select such a woman. Then he committed that matter to the Lord. And the Lord blessed the servant. He caused some things to fall into place. Left it very clear in the servant's mind, in Abraham's mind, and in Isaac's mind, that God arranged the marriage between Isaac and Rebekah. I wish to underline the point now that there is nothing in the Bible, no doctrine of predestination, no planning on God's part, that takes away humans' free choice as individuals. Life is mostly choices. And as we live the later years of life, life is mostly the reaping of the choices that we have made. When we're young, we can make decisions. But the more we make and the longer we live, the less freedom we have to make decisions. Mostly we have to live with the consequences of the decisions that we've made in the later years. So Isaac took Rebekah because of his father's prayers, and they lived a life. We don't really have as much about Isaac in the Bible as we do Jacob. They had two sons, Esau and Jacob. And the story is that the Lord prophesied that he chose one over the other. I don't want to talk this morning about what all is involved in that choosing. Suffice it to say that God has understanding about people that we do not, and he has a right to choose among them according to his wisdom and understanding. But in process of time, Jacob, who was the younger, conspired with his mother to steal his brother's birthright and his blessing. Two things mentioned in the scriptures that way. Steal his birthright and his blessing. And he was successful in doing that. They deceived poor old Isaac, who was blind. He didn't have in mind to bless one of his boys over the other, but he couldn't help himself. And because of this, Esau hated Jacob, and he thought to comfort himself by killing him, the scripture said. So Rebekah collaborated again with Jacob and told him, we don't want to have that to happen to you. You have to leave, but we have to tell your father something about why you leave. So she told Isaac, I don't want Jacob to marry any of these girls around here. None of them are left. She said, this is so urgent to me, my life will not be valuable to me if Jacob marries any of these girls around here. I want him to go somewhere else, back to my people. And her husband didn't realize what was going on, didn't know that Esau was planning to kill him, that was really what was taking place. She was trying to protect him and said, well, I mean, that's what happened for me, so I guess that's what we better do. There's no mention here of Isaac calling his servant in and having a season of prayer with him and asking the Lord to perform in a special blessing. He just was this little trick played on him, and off he went. Rebekah made the common human mistake of loving her son more than she loved truth and more than she loved God. That never succeeds, folks. And I wish to point out this consequence of the little trick strategy that these folks worked on blind Isaac. He blessed Jacob in Esau's stead, but what really came out of that? If you read the lives of Esau and Jacob, where did that make any difference to either one of them in their lifetime? Jacob ran for his life. He got his riches down there with his father-in-law, with Laban. He came back and gave a whole bunch of things to his brother. His brother stayed home. Apparently he was involved in the things that his father had. We don't read where, when Isaac died, there was inheritance made, and Jacob got a bunch more of it than his brother did. It's hard to see where there's any consequence that came out of that in either one of their lives, except for the fact that it put them at odds with one another. You can't inherit God's blessing, and your father and your mother can't make God's blessing come on you. God has a way of blessing us, and he did make a choice concerning Jacob and put him in a different category than he did Esau. But the story I'm about to read to you is where God brought the blessing down. And it was not at all in the way that had been conspired before. All the real consequence of that was to set enmity between those two. Isn't it? What else can you see in it? Well, let me read you. Genesis 28, 10th verse beginning. Quite a bit to read here. Ask your indulgence. Jacob got a birthright, but you read his story and it's hard to think he got a blessing out of what he did. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed, and remember how that Isaac blessed him and told him he'd have victory and all the other things. That is nothing compared to what the Lord said. Isaac didn't have any power to give that. Isaac was blind. Isaac was near the end of his journey. Look at what the Lord said to him. All the difference in the world in it. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. That's the promise. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto me. I want you to notice, if you will, please, the difference between Abraham and Jacob. Abraham, because of whatever vision or understanding God had given him when he was in Haran, we don't have a story of his receiving something like this dream, but God made contact with him some way. And in God's dealing with Abraham, he was able to get a vision of a people who were separate, who were chosen, who were not to follow in the ways of other people. He got the understanding that he was to be the ancestor of those people, and that all of this depended on a covenant between him and God. And he, from that time, guided his life. The lodestar of his life was that vision. And he was willing to make enormous sacrifices for it. Leave father and mother, go into a strange land. He became as one seeking a city somewhere, considered himself a pilgrim and a stranger in the earth. When the time came, the Lot contested with him for the most fruitful place. Abraham was more concerned about righteousness than he was about how many sheep he had, and so he gave Lot the choice of everything. All of this came because of the dealing of the Spirit of the Lord. Consider how Jacob was. Jacob was a conniver. Jacob was self-centered. All of the thoughts that he had seemed to have nothing to do with anything but how just to advance himself. He didn't mind hurting his brother. He didn't mind hurting his father. He didn't mind collaborating with his mother and putting her at a grave disadvantage in her dealing with God. Everything he was thinking about was just himself. We have no reason to think when he was on his journey and came to this place at the close of the day that he sat down and pondered about the things of God. If I were to guess, it would be that his mind was more full probably of dark feelings, some guilt, some shame, some disappointment, homesickness, and plans of what he was going to do for himself in the future. We don't have any record here that he made this a place to pray. But the Lord visited him in his dream and had mercy upon him. And to marvel at that, don't you marvel at that? In two generations, he lost that much from what Abraham had had before him. And folks, the very same thing can happen to you and me. You can't inherit salvation. Every one of us must have our own individual contact with the Lord. And we can't maneuver or manipulate and get salvation or the things of God. All the connivory and the underhanded manipulation that they did to brother and father did not bring the blessing of the Lord. This is where it came from. This is where the visit was. Please notice with me the things that are in the visit. Took the stones, put them for his pillows, and dreamed, and behold, a ladder. So much in this. Please don't get bored with us this morning. I ask you to pray for us. The Lord will help us. Can't get it all out. The Chaldee word that's translated ladder is shalom. And it really means, more than ladder, a broad staircase, or even a gently inclining hill that goes upward. But I'll think of it, ask you to think of it with me this morning, as a broad staircase that was set there. he dreamed and beheld this was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Now the situation was, Jacob is on his own. He's away from father and mother to the greatest degree, perhaps ever in his life. He's gone in dishonor. He needs something to give him hope and sustain him. Light and understanding and a reason to believe in something greater than himself. Just as God was a God of Abraham, he wanted to be the God of Jacob. Well, here it is. This is a vision that could give him the understanding that God put his design and protection over him. In this stairway, he saw a stairway right from where he was, step by step, all the way to the smiling face of God right up in the heavens above. And those who start up the stairway could look and see that it lifts them above this literal earth. But what did that do for him? No, himself, the kind of man that he was, the troubles and battles that he may have in life. The Lord's trying to tell him, step by step, if you follow me, just like I was with your ancestors, I will be with you, I'll deliver you, I'll stand by you, I send my angels to bring down instructions to give you. Those very same angels will take your prayers back up to me. And now I'll be a supply and a source of answer to you. This is the answer to the need of the whole world right here. In this stairway. And the Lord is able to show that just all in an instant. Faster than I can explain it. Jacob got the vision of it. There it is, right there in front of him. Reaching from wherever he is all the way up into heaven. And then look at the things that come with it. Behold, the Lord stood above it. And this is what he told him. I am. All those words. I tremble as I read them to you. I am. There's something in that. When Jesus was accosted by those who came to take him, they said, are you he? And he said, I am he. And they reeled and fell backwards and fell to the ground. This is the great I am, folks. This is the eternal one. There is nothing greater than this. And he spoke to this man and said, I am with thee. I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. Everything I've done for them, there's a reason why you weren't where you were before. The reason why you weren't living in Haran. I want you to get some faith in how much Jacob was able to receive this and to save himself from many a heartache depended on that one thing, how willing he was to believe it. And you know what that goes back to? I know that he had heard the story over and over and over again about what God had done for Abraham, what he did about Lot, what he did about the time for Isaac to be offered in the mountain, and how that Isaac came to be. You know he'd heard those stories. The trouble was he didn't believe it enough. And why did he not believe it? Because he didn't want to. That's always what it comes down to. He had rather be underhanded and sneaky and work to do things to get his own way than he would to face himself and realize that there's a consequence of doing that somewhere. But there always is. And we all know it, don't we? You know if you do something wrong, your conscience hurts you. You don't need anybody to tell you that. The question is whether or not we're willing to believe it to the extent to do something about it. Now, he'd failed of it all. We'll read them. Let me go through the rest of this and we'll see what Jacob's response was to what the Lord did with him. And you see how far his faith was below Abraham's. But God didn't plan it that way. It was all because of the choices that he was making. And because of those choices, he had to suffer later on in his life. So he said to him, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. I want you to get a vision, Jacob. I've got a future in mind. I want you to see it. Abraham had that vision. Abraham went out one time to pray for his children, which included this man. Every parent ought to do that. He made a sacrifice. He put it on the altar. He waited for the Lord to send fire down from heaven all day. And the fire didn't come. And he stayed there and drove the wild beasts away. And at the end of that time, the Lord came down and Abraham was overwhelmed with a great darkness. And the Lord was showing him by the burden of that, not necessarily the physical form, but the burden of that, 400 years of Egyptian bondage. He was praying for Isaac. But God was looking down through the centuries, down to you and me. And so he always is, folks. So he always is. So in this case, Jacob was thinking about getting home again. Jacob was thinking about his brothers mad at him. The Lord is thinking about populating a world. He's thinking about his seed moving out to the north and the south and the east and the west. He's thinking about giving a people to understand his law and to love it and to follow him. He's thinking about a city. He's thinking about a king. He's thinking about priests and a tabernacle and finally a temple. He's thinking about Calvary and your soul and mine. And all of that is wrapped up in what he told this man here. The burden of it, the burden of it lies right there. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And I want you to understand, you're never able to do this by yourself and nobody ever has. But I'm with you. This is my plan. I intend to work this in your life. This ought to have lifted Jacob above all that he'd been submitting himself to. All the carnal ways and the carnal thinking that he'd done right here was the means to lift him above every bit of that. I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. I won't leave you. Wouldn't you like to have a promise like that from the Lord? Turn around, I'm right there. Anytime. You got a future. You can face anything. If the boat's sinking like it did with the apostles, you say, so what? There's one who told me, I am with you and I won't leave you till all of this is fulfilled. There's reason here for his faith to mount up. And what did he do when he woke up? He said, this is a dreadful place. He said, this is a house of God. He was terrified. If he'd have had more faith, he would have been shouting. This is cause for shouting. He made so many mistakes in what he did. Look at this. Jacob rose early in the morning, took the stone that he had put for his pillow, set up a pillar, and called the name of that place Bethel, which means God on earth. You see, at that time, the pagans had their ideas about their gods, and gods had territories. There were gods of the houses, and there were gods of the valleys, and gods of places here and places there. And Jacob woke up and he said, well, I laid down in the place of one of these gods. Well, this is the God of Abraham and of Isaac. He's the God, but this is the place. Isn't that what he said? Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. When I came here to sleep, I didn't realize that I'd wandered into the spot that was God's spot and never got the vision that this stairway is everywhere on earth. It's anywhere. Look what the Lord told him. I am the God of your fathers. And I'll make your seed like it is. And it's set up on the earth and the top of it reached to heaven. The evidence is right there in front of him. But he didn't see it. Folks, your lives and mine are open before the Lord every day, all the time. And he's right here beside us. If we're willing to walk with him and find it. And his all the promise of the angels going up and down, bringing the message to and from, belongs to us everywhere we go. But this man didn't see it. Instead, he looked at this place and he named it the place of God on the earth. And he took a stone and he didn't offer a sacrifice. He poured some oil on the stone. And there are different ways of looking at that. But I point out to you that that's what the heathen folks did when they consecrated a place. They poured oil on it. It looks to me like, as I read this story, that Jacob's faith had about halfway gotten mixed up with what was going on in the pagan world around him. And I comment to you that I fear that very same thing happening to us. If we fail to maintain our faith in the true and living God, if we fail to believe that the things that he came to give us are true, it's easy to overlook them. If we fail to believe in those things, it can be that the things of the world seep right in among us and we come to look at religion and God and spirituality just an awfully lot like the world does? Just because our spiritual ancestors had something better than that is no reason to believe that we will have it. We must have our own contact with the Lord. More than that, we must believe Him when He comes to give that contact. And the reason people don't believe the Lord is because they don't want to. Because they don't want to. It's easier in the flesh to manipulate and maneuver and make your own way. And so I noticed the loving kindness of the Lord, because He knew all this about Jacob and He dealt with him anyway. Wouldn't the Lord have been just to just turn him loose? God started out with a man down there in Haran, and He called him out of that place into another land and gave him another life and another vision and an understanding of righteousness. And now here's his grandson going right back to the very same pit that his grandfather was digged out of, back down to Haran. And he wasn't going down there just for a visit. You read what happened. He spent years right back down in the very place that God had gotten his grandfather out of. Isn't that what people do today? With the blessing that the Lord has worked so hard to give to us, if we're not careful, Lord help us not to go again to the pit from which we're digged. And so the Lord spoke to him. And here's what he got from it. Jacob vowed a vow. The Lord's already told him in this. I am the Lord God of Abraham. And he said, I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. That's time to get down on your knees and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I got it. I'm going to take this and face lions. I'll face my brother. Oh, most importantly, I'll face myself. I believe you'll be with me. But that isn't what he said. He put an if in there. If God be with me. The Lord already told him he'd be with him. Where's his faith? Where's his faith? What's the Lord told you and me? Hasn't he promised that he'd go with us in everything we face in life? Where is his faith? He said, if God be with me and will keep me in this way that I go. And he's not thinking about the stairway. He's not thinking about his seed. He's really not even thinking about righteousness. He just says, if he'll give me bread to eat and clothes to wear. As if the covenant that the Lord made with him needed more to it. He had the temerity, the boldness, the foolhardiness to add something to the covenant that God was trying to make with him. Not only am I expecting you to go with me if you'll feed me and clothe me. Why isn't it enough when the Lord gives us his promise that we just take it and stand on it? That's what the early church did when they were in persecution. They didn't pray, Lord, feed us and clothe us. They didn't pray, Lord, solve all our problems and make our enemies go away and leave us. They prayed, let the word of the Lord go forth unhindered. That's more important than anything else. Ah, but he's promised all these things to us, and he will give them to us if we'll be faithful to follow in his way. And so he had said to Jacob, Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God be with me, and keep me in the way that I go, and give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on. And this last thing I'm asking of you, Lord, you know, I know you've been talking about my seed going everywhere and talking about raising up a nation. I saw the ladder, but Lord, get me home. That's it, and I want to go home. Isn't that something? That's his final request. Come again to my father's house in peace. If you do all of this, then you shall be my God. How do you do that with the Lord? And the Lord took it anyway. Because he works with faith wherever he finds it. It's almost hard to, I guess it is, too hard to comprehend how far the mercy of the Lord goes. He took this little bit of faith and he started working with it to do what he could to help Abraham see who he really was and what his needs really were. But I know these things weigh with God. And I think about many centuries later, when a distant grandson of this same Jacob came again in contact with God. And God spoke to him. It's found in John, the first chapter, and I want to read it to you. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou me? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And what lay before him? His life to live, the same as you and me. And what did the Lord say to him? Let me read it to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. It's not just a ladder. It's a broad stairway, folks. This is Jesus. He came to make himself step by step the way to lift us above ourselves, to make us somebody we never would have been without it, all the way from earth to glory. Because Jacob's faith was so small, he went on down to Haran and he got into all of those shenanigans that he carried out with Laban, his father-in-law. They tricking one another back and forth, and came time for him to go home and his brother came out to meet him. Remember the prayer that he prayed? Lord, if you bring me home in peace. He finally learned a little bit. He went out and wrestled all night with the angel. And the story is that the angel touched him in the hip and put his hip out of joint. And the scripture went on to say that the Hebrews eat not of that joint to this day in any animal, because that's where the sinews shrunk, where the angel touched him. And when the sinews shrink in your leg, you limp. I've got it in my mind that Jacob limped the rest of his life because of that wrestling match that he had with the angel that night. He could have spared himself that if he'd gotten hold of what the Lord was trying to give him way back yonder when he went got him back into Canaan land. And remember, his sons were grown. Remember how he was involved in, I think, four different women that he had children by or something like that. A man who's trying to raise a household of children and four different women for their mothers has got rocks in his head. It's a foolish thing to do, but that's what he did. And naturally, they all got in conflict with one another, and they couldn't get along. And they stole his favorite son down there because he didn't get this lesson back there. They stole his favorite son, dyed his coat in blood, and brought it back to him, told him your boy's dead. And he sorrowed, and he grieved under that for years. And he couldn't get out of it. There was no way he had to help himself. Until the time the Lord opened it to him. I don't say that we won't suffer some if we walk closely with the Lord, but I say this man brought a lot of his suffering on himself, and the Lord gave him a vision that would have saved him from a lot of it if he'd have just believed it. Oh, he learned to pray all right. It took him many a tear. It took him many a bitter disappointment, but he learned. When he got down there in Egypt finally and he was leaving this world, his sons gathered around him, and the scripture said he worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. And finally, he's able to say, well, old Father Abraham was right. I see it now. I'm looking out into eternity myself, and I look back over the course of my life and have to say a good deal of the misery that I had is self-inflicted, but the Lord had mercy on me and has led me along to this point in spite of myself, and he has been to me everything that he promised that he would be. He's a stairway, and he's lifted me up. And I went, and just to tell the truth, kicking and screaming. I didn't go happily. It didn't go easily. But the Lord had mercy on me. And because I didn't do that, I had to suffer. You and I can save ourselves a lot of suffering in life if we'll walk with the Lord. If we'll just believe him to the extent that what we understand about him changes us. Can I make my point again? Life is mostly choices. And the later years of life are mostly the reaping of the choices that we've made. Now look at our bodies. If I choose to never exercise, when I inherited certain things, I got some muscles, but if I choose to be a couch potato all my life, when I get to be 60, it's going to tell me what I can do and what I can't. If I choose to never learn anything, if I choose to be stubborn and rebellious, I'm going to have a lot of enemies by the time I get to be 60 years old. Most of us live the lives, we live according to the choices that we have made. I shouldn't meant to say it this way. Most of the suffering, a lot of the suffering we have in life is a consequence of the choices that we have made. And my little message to you this morning is that the Lord's ladder, his broad stairway, is everywhere on the earth. you and I can take advantage of it. Any time that we're willing to start walking on this stairway that belongs to the Lord, it'll start lifting us above ourselves. If we're clear down at the very end of life, this stairway reached a man in the final moments of his life, hanging on a cross beside the Lord. And it lifted him right up to the Father in heaven. And it will lift you and me up too, if we walk on it. If we're going this way, it is a great plan. Jesus is a stairway. God himself stands at the top of it. That's what he told us. Scripture said, I'm thinking of next to last chapter of Proverbs. It's kind of an interesting scripture. It says, the words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy. The man spoke unto Ithiel, and he said, surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. And I take that to mean this way. He said, I'm no genius. I'm no specially spiritual man. I'm just your Carmen garden variety man. I don't have any special understanding. But I do have something to say. I neither learn wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. And then he said, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment, or hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Salvation is not just for the smart. It's not just for the spiritual. It's not just for the rich. It reaches people who just say, I'm just a garden variety person. And the question, the great question of all mankind is, who is there that can reach my soul and help me with the need that I have? And the answer is, the one that's pure for every man. Jesus Christ is our stairway. He is our ladder. Folks, he wants to take us from earth to glory if we'll let him do it. God is near. God wants to be your God and my God and lead us by his hand and power in the way of life everlasting. Don't be a Jacob. Don't be an unrighteous person. This ladder is a secret of peace. It's a secret of purity. It's a secret of the answer to all of life's burdens and difficulties. I don't know how to explain it all works. It takes the intervention of the Lord to make it happen. But the promise is, if we'll believe him, that intervention will be there. Remember how it was? Man dreamed a dream again. And there were, 12 sheaves? And all of them but one bowed down to his sheaf. And he was the one standing up. And he went back and told his dad. And his dad was upset about it. But that was the Lord. You can't make the Lord do that. But his promise is, folks, if we'll follow him, he will do that. When we need him, he'll be there. He'll give us an answer if we listen to it. He is more interested in you and I getting to heaven than we are to getting there. I don't know how to say it any better. Wish I knew how. Lord, help us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. He has a plan for every one of our lives if we'll be faithful. He worked that out, not only to us, but to generations following, as long as the world stands, beyond what all our imagining is. Now, I wish to point out to you the particulars of this. It's not based on things. There's no way you can cut your hair that makes this happen. It's things on the inside. Rebecca got in trouble because she loved her son more than she loved the truth. That sort of lack of character will get every one of us every time. Folks, on the other hand, if we put righteousness first, if we love the Lord more than everything else, all the other things of holiness and inward peace come along with it. And his great blessing. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention this morning. Amen.